Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our program here on Larry Glimmer Live. It's the Tuesday night edition of our show. Thanks so much. And it is brought to you by our buddies over at Jack Kane Ford. And at the end of the year, it's a great time to buy a vehicle. Jack Kane Ford in Versailles has a large selection of used cars, trucks, and SUVs in their back row, mid-row Joes, and their certified pre-owned inventory. If new's what you're looking for, then check out their selection of Explorers, F-150s, the popular Fusion, Escape, and Edge. You can see all of their inventory online at Jack Kane Ford's website, KaneFord.com, 24 hours a day. Jack Kane Ford is definitely worth the short drive from Lexington for a great buying experience and to save thousands. Check out their reviews that tell the whole story. I'm one of those. I've got a Ford Edge, bought a Jack Kane Ford, 160,000 plus miles on it, and it works perfectly. Check it out. And I would buy it again. In fact, likely will here, probably next year or so, get a new one there. But I love it. Fantastic stuff. That's Jack Kane Ford's website, KaneFord.com. How are you guys doing? Tuesday edition of the show. Tomorrow is game night. Kentucky playing Louisville, and the line is out. What do you think the line is? Have you seen the line? First of all, have you seen it? I got to tell you, I was really surprised. Really surprised. I thought Kentucky would be about a 4-point favorite. Louisville opened a 2-point favorite. It moved to Kentucky plus one, or rather, I should say, Kentucky minus one. They were a 1-point favorite. It has now moved back towards Louisville, and Louisville now sits currently as a 1-point favorite. Clearly, they're looking at it from this standpoint of it's a road game, tough place to play, rivalry game. Kentucky's really young. So we're going to sit back and see. You know, they saw Kentucky play Saturday, but this is a different deal, different animal. It's a road game. How will they fare? I think that's playing into it a lot. But I got to tell you, I was surprised. I thought Kentucky would be a favorite. I thought the money would move the line to Kentucky a few more points. It has not been the case. I saw some Louisville personalities saying they thought it might be Kentucky by tip, Kentucky 8 or 9 points. So that clearly is not going to be the case now. In fact, the fact that it opened a 2-point favorite, moved to Kentucky 1, and it's back to Louisville by 1, tells me that this thing will probably be right there at a pick 'em, if not a Louisville favorite at tip. It might move back towards Kentucky, but if it hasn't moved to Kentucky yet, and it hasn't dropped back, that tells me that there's probably not going to be a lot more movement going forward. It might move back to a pick'em. It might get to Kentucky as a 1-point favorite, but probably not much more than that. So it'll be basically, and let's face it, a 1-point favorite is basically a pick'em. I mean, there's no getting. In fact, even a 2-point favorite is basically a pick'em. Most games end up being by that are decided that are close. My personal feeling is they're rarely 1-point outcomes. I mean, you know, each bucket's at least 2 points. So, I don't know. I think anything two or less is basically a pick 'em in my view. 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. Take your predictions on Kentucky and Louisville, the winning team and score. Winning team and score with the winner getting a gift card from our friends at All Sports and our buddies over at Sutton's. I was over at Sutton's today. And our friend Gordon Lewis, who owns Sutton's, they are doing some fantastic stuff for Christmas Eve. They have got something called Ossobuco. Has anybody ever had that? Ossobuco is a fantastic meal. It's slow roasted. It's like lamb, I suppose. It's slow roasted in wine broth with rustic vegetables. They're offering it Saturday only while supplies last for Christmas Eve. Fantastic stuff. Also, too, they've got, this is through December 31st. They're going to feature a $5 gift card for every $25 gift card purchased. They'll be open late on Saturday on Christmas Eve, serving the full menu until 10 p.m. Delivery, though, will end at around 4 p.m. on a first-come basis. The bar will be open until midnight. Close Christmas Day. Happy holidays from Sutton's Restaurant. So check it out. The winning team at score, and you will win a gift card, if you're right, a gift card from Sutton's and All Sports. 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. I'm on record as saying I think it'll be either a close Louisville win or I think Kentucky wins going away. I think if it's a grinder, and I believe that Louisville will play that 2-2-1 zone. I don't believe Pitino saying we're not going to slow down. We're going to run with them. I don't believe that. I just don't. I think it would be virtual suicide on Louisville's part to try to run with Kentucky. I'm not saying the Louisville can't run, and I'm not saying that they can't execute their fast break, but what do you do when you try to do something that you like to do, yet the team you're playing is just flat out better than? What do you do? Kentucky, I think, is the best fast break team in America. They can take it from one end to the other and dunk it in about 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Kentucky's average possession time per point going into the North Carolina game was like 12.6 seconds. That's average possession. That's an overwhelming majority of our regular, standard, traditional possessions. That's bringing the ball down the floor, making a few passes, running a play, bam, shot off the glass, either good or heading the other way in 12.6 seconds. Amazing stuff. I actually think Kentucky wins this thing. I think the Kentucky's guard play, I don't think Louisville's going to be able to handle Kentucky's guard play. And I was talking to Kenny Walker about this, too. And here's another thing I think is kind of interesting. With Kenny Walker, we were talking a little bit about the way Louisville plays. At the end of the day, usually I feel this way. I usually feel that when you are dealing with a team or two teams, put your money on the team that's got playmakers. It's no disrespect to Louisville, but who do they go to when they've got to have a play? I'll be the first to admit that I'm not as intimately familiar with Louisville, obviously, as I am with Kentucky. I'll never deny that. We're going to talk with Nick Coffey, works with CardConnect.com. He covers U of L up in Louisville. We're going to talk to him a little bit coming up a little bit later on, actually coming up in about 25 minutes. Just kind of give his overview of, he also, by the way, does a show called The Red Zone on KRD up in Louisville. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about what Louisville looks like, what he thinks that they'll try to do. By the way, I was listening to his show today. I think it was him. I didn't hear him identify himself, but I think he's picking Kentucky to win. We'll kind of pick his brain on that. But I think that with Kentucky, I look at what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to get out on the break. They're going to try to create a lot of transition points. They're going to try to hit the boards. I think they'll try to slow Kentucky down. I think they'll try to find a way to bog Kentucky down in a half court. Calipari's saying today he thinks Louisville will try to score quickly. And if they can't score quickly, then slow it down and run some clock and try to get into Kentucky's legs. Will it make a play defense for 20, 25 seconds? I think the change in the shot clock helps teams like Kentucky, frankly. I think it does a lot to help teams like Kentucky because now you suddenly can't run as much clock, and the possessions are shorter now. And by the time you get the ball up court, and by the time you kind of make a couple of passes and set up a play, you're already down to 15 seconds. So, I think that works in advantage of teams like Kentucky. 253-595-9 *590 from AT&T 1-877-777-0590. Also via email at LarryGloverLive@gmail.com. On the show tomorrow night, TJ is, he says, we're doing a live show at 6:30. I won't be able to do anything before 7. Well, we won't be doing anything before 7, after 7 either. So we're going to have a best of hour, and the second hour will be live. Kenny Walker will be joining us at 6:35 coming up tomorrow night. On the show tonight, we've got, as we mentioned, Nick Coffey from Card Connect coming up at 6:35 to preview this game with us. We've got at 7:05 Jeff Drummond with the Kentucky angle. And then at 7:35, ESPN's Myron Metcalf is going to join us to analyze this matchup between Kentucky and Louisville. I was listening to the CBS podcast this morning, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander talking about it. Matt Norlander, I'm still very surprised that Malik Monk is not getting more hype on a national level. Matt Norlander was talking about, what a great performance by Malik Monk. After his performance, he moves up into the top six best freshmen in America. This kid's averaging 22 points a game, just put up 47 on Carolina, and he's not even in your top five freshmen in the country. Are you kidding me? He's had De'Aaron Fox at three. I think Fox has had a terrific year, but I mean, the guy's averaging 22 points a game. Gary Parrish just ridiculed him over that placement. I have a tendency to think that's I think it's an honest assessment, and I also kind of agree with Gary that I think it's faulty. I mean, there's other people. I'm not using people to believe that only Kentucky's freshmen are good, but my God, he just put up 47 on Carolina. He's averaging 22 points a game for a team that has a chance to win a national championship. I mean, did you ever think you'd see a kid playing for Kentucky, 22 points a game, just put up 47 in North Carolina, and he wouldn't be getting hyped for All-American? I mean, think about that for just a second. Let's go to Bruce first. Bruce, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
What up, Larry?
Bruce, what do you know?
Well, I wanted to call and wish everybody a Merry Christmas out there in Big Blue Nation, including yourself, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's been a crazy year, but, you know, we're going to make it. Cats gonna make it tomorrow night, Larry. And I tell you what, you know what? You know how much Matt Norlander knows about college basketball, Larry?
How much?
I tell you how. He's got Creighton as a number two seed right now, so that tells you how much he knows about college basketball.
Well, you know what? Jeff Drummond actually was discussing this with him on Twitter the other night. I'm not sure if you saw this, Bruce, and was making the case that North Carolina losing to Kentucky by three doesn't really help them. I mean, losing narrowly to maybe the best team in the country like Kentucky did, you know, that they don't get any benefit out of that. And Matt kind of chided Jeff about, well, I think your homer hat is shining through. I like Matt Norlander. He's been on the show many times before. And I like him personally, but I thought that was a little unfair. It isn't like it's a ridiculous argument.
You know, Malik Monk, not only is he one of the top freshmen in the country, Larry, he's one of the top players, period, in the country. I mean, come on. I mean, this kid, anybody goes out and puts 47 points up on North Carolina is one of the best players in the country, hands down. I mean, come on. I mean, it's...
Bruce, I think that Malik Monk should be in the National Player of the Year discussion. I think Norlander's way off. I mean, there's a little bit of a John Wall phenomenon here. You know, when John Wall was at Kentucky, he was constantly at the top of every list for National Player of the Year. And while he had a very good year, he never really felt like he was the best player in America to me. But yet, because he was so talented, because he was the preseason, that's what people felt about him. You know, this whole Lonzo Ball kind of thing's the same way. Lonzo Ball's having a fine season, but show me where he's having a better year than De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. But yet, it's almost heresy to suggest, Lonzo Ball's got to be ahead of those guys. Well, why? I mean, I know UCLA won, but he played terrible. I mean, head-to-head, De'Aaron Fox outplayed him. I mean, so why is it such a ridiculous notion that De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk should be ahead of Lonzo Ball for best freshman American? He also got the Fultz kid from Washington is right at the top of the list, who nobody will see all year long because the Huskies are so bad they won't even make the tournament. He's basically this year's Ben Simmons.
Yeah, well, I've not had a chance to see that kid play, but from what I've seen so far this season, what I've seen out of Malik Monk, that there's no question that he should be in everybody's conversation for All-American and Player of the Year candidate. And, Larry, I tell you what, you made a really good comment. I want to give you your kudos about what you said last night about UCLA in Kentucky. I think you really made a good call on saying that Kentucky, you know, you very glad you beat Kentucky now, UCLA, and come later on, that I think Kentucky's loss to UCLA really done a lot of good for this team. And I just want to give you props on making that judgment, Larry, because I really think that's going to be something this team, they realize now what they got to do going forward. And I just see tomorrow, I think Kentucky in tomorrow's game, I think Vegas is trying to, I don't know, I can't believe Vegas is giving this game as a pick'em. That's hard for me to believe. I think Kentucky should be a solid 5 to 8 point favorite. So I'm going to say Kentucky will win the game 83-69. I think Louisville will probably slow us down a little bit.
Bruce. First of all, you can't take my prediction. Okay, it looks like you sought out expert analysis to help you win a contest, okay?
What? No, is that what you said?
I said 8368, but it certainly looks like that you're seeking out the advice of an expert to try to win a contest. Man, that's what it looks like to me anyway.
No, I hadn't seen that nowhere, Larry. I mean, I've been out in a car, so that was just my honest pick'em that I just come up with while I've been driving down Shinaway Drive.
All right.
So I hadn't seen.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. No question about that. I don't mean to suggest or to give the impression that I don't think Louisville can win. I think Louisville can certainly win this game. I'm just saying that I think if Louisville wins, I think it's a close grinder. I think if Kentucky wins, it's a game where Kentucky's getting the ball off the glass, getting it up the court, and getting it in a bucket. So I think it could go either way. I just think if Kentucky wins, that means that they are clicking in transition, getting on the glass, and defending. And I think it's probably bad news for Louisville. So don't misread the 15-point spread I've got in favor of Kentucky as a way of saying that Louisville's not in Kentucky's league. I just think that the way Kentucky has to play to win, it in my view, would lead ultimately to a pretty big win. But I think if Louisville plays the game they need to play, then I think they will get Kentucky in a grinder and win a close one.
Do you really think that Pitino and Louisville can stop Kentucky from having 83 or 85 possessions, Larry? I think they can, Bruce.
I think they can, but it's going to have to be something along the lines of making shots, limiting transition opportunities off the defensive glass. I think Louisville's going to have to get Kentucky into half court and slow the game down a little bit, work the clock. I think force Kentucky into turnovers, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't think it'd be easy, certainly, but I think the way Louisville has to junk up the game, I think, could lend itself to a much more lower scoring affair. I still think Kentucky ultimately, even in a loss, would probably be somewhere in the mid to high 70s. But I think Kentucky winning, and I think also even if they win 83-68, which was my predicted score, I think you could find yourself in a situation where, it's a relatively close game that, you know, where Kentucky's sitting there along in halftime, something along the lines of 39-34, something like that, where they sort of gradually kind of pull away and a late surge makes it look more lopsided than it actually is.
Well, I see, Larry? I see that the game of basketball might see something tomorrow night that where this day and age of college basketball and what Cal's doing might just be passing old Rick by. You might see something where, you know, he just can't compete with a team what Kentucky has this year. I mean, Kentucky's playing at a level.
Bruce, I think it's simpler than that. I don't think the game's passed Rick by. I think Rick's a very good coach. I think he actually, in some ways, has become more like Tubby than you know, when Tubby took over for Rick. Rick was a guy that was going out and getting McDonald's All-Americans, and Tubby was more inclined to go get guys that were good, hard, tough-nosed, grinding, four-star kind of guys. And now here it is, Rick Pitino in Louisville 20 years later, and he actually kind of coaches more like Tubby's teams. Tubby did with his Kentucky teams because it makes you wonder if maybe the way Tubby coached was kind of, you know, there was a more of a Rick influence there than maybe we realized.
Well, like I said, it's kind of weird.
I got to go, Bruce.
Wednesday night, so I'm hoping that the cats prevail, and I think they'll pull through. And you know, when players get hot like Malik Monk, a lot of times it comes in bunches, Larry. So you never know. He might go off again tomorrow night, and you never know. He might drop 40 again. You just never know.
It might, Bruce. Well, here's what I fear, though. Young players like that, what I fear is he comes out and he struggles a little bit tomorrow night, where he may put in 16 or 17 and be, you know, 5 of 18 or something like that. I fear that he might struggle a little bit. I think Kentucky's going to lean more on De'Aaron and Bam tomorrow night.
That'd be okay.
Hey, Bruce, I got to go. Thank you very much, Bruce. Hey, Bruce, I got to go. I'm way past my break. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have more for you next here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford. All right, so welcome back to our program here on 590 WVL. Okay, sorry about that, Al. I didn't mean to leave you hanging there. I just walked out and had my headphones off. Let's go to Gabe next up. Gabe, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Larry?
much, Gabe. Sorry about that. I apologize. I had my headphones off and didn't realize we were back.
Who won the contest for North Carolina?
You did. I announced it last night. Where were you?
I did. I won.
Yes. Where were you? Oh. I expected you to call last night and claim it. But since you didn't call and claim it, I gave it away. But since you didn't win it, you didn't call and claim it, I gave it away to somebody else.
No, you didn't. You got my mailing address, right?
I got all that stuff. I'll take care of it.
All right. I'll go with Kentucky 75, Louisville 68.
75-68. It's going to look bad, though, Gabe, if you win again, just so you know. It's going to reflect poorly on me.
It'll be a lot more half court, and Louisville will slow it down. They're not going to try to run with Kentucky. Kentucky will run them off the court if they do.
If Kentucky's successful, I mean, listen, you can run up and down and not get it done. I mean, that's the thing. You know, simply running up and down the court does not guarantee Kentucky's going to have tremendous success. What Kentucky will have to do is they will have to – if Louisville does – let's put it this way. I'll make it a little more simpler and more specific. If Louisville doesn't shoot the ball well and Kentucky rebounds well, I think Louisville's in deep trouble.
Yeah. You know, when I was watching Channel 36 the other night. And this really disturbs me. When I see a sports anchor, it was a young girl doing the sports, mm-hmm. and she pronounced ISIL as ISIL. And anybody that is doing sports on a local channel should have enough sense to, if they're not familiar with the history of Kentucky basketball, at least... Yeah. Go to somebody in the station and find out how to pronounce the guy's name. I mean, you know, it's just embarrassing. It really is embarrassing that they hire these young girls and they can't even pronounce their names correctly.
Gabe, is that who President Obama's talking about? It's, instead of ISIS, it's Dan ISIL.
I mean,
I will say this, Gabe. You know, I don't.
It really bothered me that
yeah,
I had to mention
I understand.
That.
I mean,
but,
I totally get it. You know, here's the thing, Gabe. About
a nip and tuck game, and I agree with Cal. I think that you can't put all your marbles with one player. You got to spread it around, and I think that Monk will have a very average game tomorrow, and somebody else will pick up the slack.
Listen, if he has an average game, that's 22 points. That'll be enough. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
He'll score, I think, in the high teens. And I think that they're going to have to rely on somebody else because you can't have the other team focus on him and then stop him and then the rest of the players don't pick up the slack. So I think that's what Pitino does. He goes after the leading scorer of the other team. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But in one other thing, I had to mention this.
Yeah.
ACC really blew it. I mean, $25,000 is a drop in the bucket. They should have suspended Petrino, should have suspended the whole defensive staff, because all those coaches knew what happened. If the coordinator got the information from the Wake Forest guy, he had to share that with the defensive coaches because they're the ones that were challenging to stop the plays. And, you know,
I don't disagree with you, Gabe. I'd love to talk more about it. I got to go, though. I'm sorry. I'm so far past my break. Well, call me back tomorrow, Thursday night. We'll talk more about it and put more time into it.
Now.
Appreciate it, Gabe. Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have Nick Coffey from Card Connect coming up next here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.
It's a mainly clear sky as we go through the evening. Some clouds will begin to arrive, though, later on tonight. Temperatures, they are going to be getting brisk again. We're falling through the 30s during the evening. An overnight low takes us down to the low 20s. By the way, winter begins. That's at 5:44 in the morning. Your day tomorrow, the first day of winter. Mostly sunny, highs in the mid-40s. Thursday, mostly cloudy. A couple of degrees cooler will be in the low 40s, but warm it right back up again on Friday. Partly sunny. How about the upper 40s to finish the week? I'm LA City Storm Tracker Chief Meteorologist Bill Mack with your three-day forecast on News Talk 590 WVLK.
Hey, and right now, radar is indicating no precipitation around Lexington or central Kentucky. Downtown, it's fair 31.
All right, so welcome back to our program here on 590 WVOK Kentucky in Louisville tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. The Cats and Cards will tip things off at the Yum Center up in Louisville, Kentucky. I thought Kentucky would open up as a favorite. Not a big favorite, but I'm surprised that Louisville opened up a two-point favorite. Actually swung to Kentucky briefly, and now back as Louisville as a one-point favorite, and another sports book just opened up with their line, also placing the Cardinals as a one-point favorite. A little surprised by that. It'll be, I think, can be a great game and contrasting styles, I believe. But I think ultimately it should be an entertaining game. I love this rivalry. I really do. And my listeners can attest, I believe Kentucky-Louisville can legitimately be the best rivalry in college basketball. I think it is now. Some other people agree. But there are some stalwarts out there that are holding on, resisting, wanting to cling to that Duke-North Carolina rivalry as being the measuring stick. But I think for Kentucky-Louisville to be thought of in that way, they both have to be very good high-level programs, and right now they are, and I think it's great news. We're joined by Nick Coffey from Card Connect, who is going to join us on the program. Also does a show on WKRD up in Louisville in the middays from noon to 3. Nick, appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It's certainly good to get in on the conversation. I agree with you. I think this is – I mean, I'm a little biased growing up here in Louisville. I think it's without question the best rivalry in college basketball simply because of, I mean, I think it's the most passionate.
Mm-hmm. I think also the rivalry benefits from playing just once a year. I mean, as I tweeted to you earlier today, I personally wish Louisville and Kentucky played twice a year. I think it'd be cool to see them play at home, and that would only happen, obviously, if they were in the same conference. I'd be okay with that. I think it'd be fun to have, you know, if you play at Louisville in December, you know, then, you know, Kentucky's got a return game in February. I think it. But I think also in some ways that one time, at one appearance each year, that one matchup each year, in some regards, though, adds to the mystique of the rivalry because whoever wins has got bragging rights for the rest of the year versus North Carolina Duke. If Carolina gets the win in Chapel Hill in January, Duke can get it back a month later. It kind of takes away from that ability to have the bragging rights. And I think playing one time a year almost adds mystique to the rivalry.
I could not agree more. I think with it just being the one game, and I do think it would get more attention if it took place maybe when college basketball is more relevant nationally, maybe in February or January. But it being in usually late December, early January, doesn't usually get as much promotion. I think the Wednesday night game, I think fans, it made it not as fun. I know a lot of people here in Louisville where you've got a lot of Kentucky fans and Louisville fans that have watch parties and whatnot, and it's not as easy to do that on a Wednesday night. But I actually think it's going to get a lot of attention. ESPN's College Game Day crew is coming to town. It's going to be pretty much it's not the legitimate game day experience, but they're going to do a 30-minute show. And I think at Wednesday night you'll have more people who aren't normally into college basketball watching this than if it would have been on a New Year's, let's just say New Year's Eve fell on a Saturday. And if it was at noon, I don't think you'd get as much attention nationally. But I do agree with on the one game. And it's kind of weird because Kentucky plays so many out-of-conference opponents that are really strong. I mean, they load up the non-conference schedule. Louisville, not as much, but they do have a tough schedule in the ACC. So really, whoever loses this game, it never really hurts them when it comes to seeding. It's really just all about the bragging rights, and I think that's why it's such a special rivalry to where if they were in the same conference and they played twice, I think I like that too a little bit just because I thought of getting two chances. But with it just being one game and really the only thing that you come away with are the bragging rights, I think that's another factor that makes it so special.
I think the rivalry matchup is important to both fan bases. I think for the programs and teams themselves, it may be more important to Kentucky because they just don't have as many opportunities for resume-building wins that Louisville will. You know, you got Carolina, you got Duke, you got Virginia. You got Florida State's pretty good this year. So I think Louisville's got more opportunities as you get closer to the tournament to post wins that matter on Selection Sunday. Kentucky, really, after today, Kentucky will only have, I think, maybe one, certainly one with Kansas in late January. But beyond that, maybe only a game or two that you look at and say, you know, that could be a really quality win on Selection Sunday. I mean, I've said it on the air last night. If Kentucky can get out of the Yum Center with a win tomorrow night, I think they become, you know, one of the favorites for one of the one seeds at that point, because I just don't see many chances for Kentucky to lose again. I mean, even if they lost to Kansas and lost a couple of SEC games, that's still, you know, at the end of the day, 30-4 on Selection Sunday with a win over UNC, and, you know, so and a win over Kansas or maybe Louisville. So, I mean, I still think that at 30-4 and a couple of wins like that, I think Kentucky's probably a one seed. So I think in essence, Kentucky in a lot of ways could not lock up a one seed tomorrow, but really take a huge step towards grabbing one of those four one seeds with a win tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and that one thing that's getting completely lost in that game on Saturday, and understandably so, when a freshman puts up 47 points, that's going to be the big topic of conversation following the game. But North Carolina, I thought, played well. And they had a really good chance to win that game. So I think at the end of the year, that win over Carolina is going to go a long way. UCLA, certainly at this time, they're ranked number two. So that's not it's a win Kentucky would have liked to have had. But certainly it's not going to be one that hurts you on your resume. So, yeah, I mean, they're taking advantage of, you know, they're one for one in these big out-of-conference games. Now, Michigan State, you know, before the season was thought to be a real test. Now, they've not had the season that they normally do. But, yeah, this win for Kentucky, I guess it's a good point. You know, they're not going to have a lot of competition in the SEC. So a win for them tomorrow could go a long way when it comes to seeding. And Louisville, on the other hand, they've got a four-game stretch here that, you know, Rick Pitino is known to exaggerate from time to time. I don't know if this is truly the toughest four-game stretch he's ever had. But, hard to really think of one that's been – and they played some good teams, but not four in a row like this where they've got Kentucky, Virginia, who has been a thorn in their side since they joined the ACC. Then they play Indiana, and then a pesky Notre Dame team who's still in the top 25.
Yeah, I think that's another reason why, you know, the whole Rick Pitino angle. I mean, you know, you guys know him intimately because he's the Louisville coach. We know him intimately because he once coached Kentucky. So when we talk about Pitino, we all kind of know him, you know. So it isn't like, you know, talking about Roy Williams or talking about, you know, Tom Izzo. You know, the fact that we know Rick, you know, it makes it even more interesting. And I was saying before your segment that, you know, Rick kind of coaches a little bit like Tubby coached. You know, Tubby replaced Rick, and Rick was a guy who was hauling in all, you know, McDonald's All-Americans and played more of a breakneck pace at Kentucky. And Tubby comes in and takes more really good, solid four-year guys and won a championship in 97. And now I think Louisville's teams are kind of built a little bit like Tubby's better. I mean, some of his teams aren't very good, but some of his better teams, you know, like the Keith Bogan teams, remind me a lot of the Louisville teams in terms of that grit and that toughness, and that they kind of grind you a little bit.
That's a really good point that I'd never thought of. Now, the Tubby teams, you know, some of them were really good. Like, I think that's what was unfortunate for Tubby Smith is he actually had a few years where his teams were good enough to win the championship, yet they just never made it to the Final Four. But with Louisville and Rick Pitino, it's amazing to me because I grew up watching Rick Pitino coach the, you know, he was the innovator of the three-point line. The, you know, we all know about the game back when he coached at Kentucky against LSU where they put up more than 80 points in the first half. And, you know, he was a guy that was going to take advantage of a three-point line. And since he's been at Louisville, there's only really been one team that really fit that style. And they didn't really fit it with athleticism and talent like he had at Kentucky. But the team in 2005 that had Francisco Garcia, Tyquan Dean, and Larry O'Bannon, and they were all really good shooters, arguably three of the best shooters he's had here. But since then, his best teams have really been slow it down, grind it out. And they've had talent, but they're really built off defense. And I've watched this team this year, and I don't think they're as offensively challenged as some make it out to be, but clearly that's not the strength of this team. They're built off defense and length. But, yeah, he's kind of, you know, he's done it twice. He's won two national championships, two different schools, and completely different styles of play. And, you know, speaking of Louisville's offense, I mean, there were teams, you know, if you remember back in 2009, a team that with the number one overall seed featured Earl Clark and Terrence Williams, those guys. Mm-hmm. That team would be, you know, they would play a team ranked in the 200s RPI and win 66-59. I mean, it was not a high-scoring affair at any point. So this year, I think this year's team is better offensively than most realize, but they are certainly built off defense. But it's one thing to be pretty good offensively. It's another thing to look at what Kentucky's doing, playing at a pace that I really have never seen before. We'll have to see towards the end of the year if this ends up being one of those teams for – I think it certainly can be one of those teams for Calipari that makes that deep run with a chance to win it all. But and it's early, but I don't remember him ever having a team that got up and down the floor quite like this one, especially just those two guards.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Bob Valvano said that he was watching Kentucky, North Carolina. It was kind of like watching the Houston-Louisville game back in 83. because it was just so, it was so impressive in terms of athleticism and style of play that was reminiscent of that. We're talking with Nick Coffey from the Card Connect and also from the Red Zone on KRD from noon to three in Louisville. Nick, tell us a little bit more about Louisville and what Louisville's going to have to do tomorrow to be successful.
That's a great question. You know, this team specifically, I mean, I like their personnel. I think they have good players. One of my big talking points all week has been that this isn't a Louisville team that's just got a bunch of average Joes. They have talented players. I think Donovan Mitchell is a fine player. Ding Adele has not been what most expected, but he's certainly talented. And I think at some point he's going to get going. Now, will that be tomorrow? I doubt it. But he's a talented player. I think their front court is doing exactly what they needed to do. And I was the guy all summer who kind of doubted. I thought Chinono Onuwaku going to the NBA was going to be a huge factor for this team's success. And they do miss him, but collectively, guys like Jalen Johnson, Mango Mathiang, Anis Mahmood, and Ray Spalding, collectively, those guys have filled the void. They rebound. None of them are real big offensive weapons, but they're capable of scoring when they need to. And the guard play is where I thought this team would really shine, and they've not done that. I think there's a trio of guys, the three starters, Ding Adele, Donovan Mitchell, and Quinn Snyder. I feel like they realized that Louisville's lost so much in scoring with Damian Lee and Trey Lewis and Onuwaku gone that they're kind of just trying, you know, they're not really letting the offense come to them. They have gotten better in recent weeks, but hard to really know what that means when they play teams like Texas Southern and Eastern Kentucky. So I do like this team's personnel. I was surprised to see them open as a favorite. I know it's already changed, but I think the gap between the two is not as big as most see it. But Kentucky right now, if you've watched both teams for 10 games in, Kentucky's the better team. I think most would agree with that. Now, does that mean they'll win? That's not a guarantee. I think Louisville could win. They just need a lot of things to happen. And for them tomorrow, the biggest fear, if you're Rick Pitino, is that Kentucky can create a fast break out of nothing, meaning, you know, you can score, and Kentucky can somehow create that into a run out to where they've got an easy basket. That's just how quick those guards are. For Louisville to win the game, of course, the most important thing is they're going to have to get back on defense, and they're not going to keep Kentucky from scoring, you know, 75-plus. I just think that's what Kentucky does. They're going to score. The real issue is, will Louisville be able to keep up and score points as well? I don't think they're going to slow it down and basically be like Virginia. I think they're going to pick and choose when they want to get easy baskets. I think actually what Calipari said earlier today was spot on. If they can get easy baskets and score quick, they'll do that. But for the most part, they're going to try to slow it down. And I think the full court press will be there just to try to slow them down, not to try to pick up the pace at all. And I think we'll know right away. I said this on my show earlier today. I think we'll know right away if that press is going to work. If it turns into De'Aaron Fox dribbling through everybody because he's the fastest player in college basketball, they may back off of the press. And he very well may do that because he's a guy that is certainly getting a lot of attention. But, you know, 47 points from Malik Monk took away from how good De'Aaron Fox was in that Carolina game.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, one of the reasons, and I know historically speaking, the record between Cal and Pitino is much closer, but between the two schools here recently, Cal's kind of had the better of it. One of the reasons why I think that Calipari's had a lot of success against Rick, and maybe a little bit of a bad matchup kind of deal here, is that Louisville depends so much on pressure on the perimeter, and Cal's always got pro guards. I think it's difficult to turn Kentucky over because they always seem to have guys that are at least lottery picks or you know, like Ulysses' case, you know, a very, very good college point guard. And I think Kentucky's tough to turn over. And the only guards really they've had success against in doing so was the Archie Griffin crew a few years ago. And Archie Goodwin. But even he played the NBA for a number of years.
Yeah, I think the year that – and that's a really good point because the one year that Louisville did win in that matchup, they had a huge advantage, I think, with – I know Peyton Steven and Russ Smith didn't have NBA success, but at the time, I think they were much better than the duo of Harrow and Goodwin. But, yeah, even the Harrison twins, you know, they didn't have it. They never had any. They were bigger. I mean, they could see over. They did, you know, they could see over top of Louisville's smaller guards. And it's interesting because Louisville's always had quickness, but they've been undersized. And this year, it's kind of the opposite. Quinn Snyder is not very quick at all. He's crafty enough to get it done, but quickness is certainly not one of his strengths. And Donovan Mitchell is a bigger guard. Kind of reminds me of an old school Denny Crum guard, but he's not necessarily all that quick either. That's certainly been a big factor. And I think that you mentioned the guards, and you can't mention guard play enough in college basketball. It's a huge factor, and that's the real fear from Louisville fans is that they've been watching this year what guys like Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox are doing, and it's hard to argue that's not the best duo in college basketball right now when it comes to the guard.
Yeah, I know we all kind of thought that the guard play for Kentucky would actually regress a bit with Murray and Ulis gone, but I actually think Kentucky's backwards.
The rich getting richer. It's hard to imagine this quickly there'd be a better duo than the guys last year with Murray and Ulis.
Hey, Nick, I appreciate the time. Thank you. I'm out of time, but always good talking with you, and I appreciate the time. And it's going to be a fun matchup tomorrow. I love that game, and I hope it's a really, really good game because I want this rivalry to be the best in college basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Larry.
All right, that's Nick Coffey from the Card Connect. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Keane Ford. All right, the line has moved again. It's now a full-fledged pick'em between Kentucky and Louisville. So midnight kind of interesting. It may well end up Kentucky being a favorite. You never can tell, but I sense that it's not going to be anywhere more than 1 point in either direction, truthfully. Coming up in the second hour, we've got Jeff Drummond going to join us at 7:05. We've got Myron Metcalf from ESPN going to join us coming up at 7:35, all talking about the Kentucky-Louisville matchup tomorrow night at the Yum Center. Certainly looking forward to it. Should be a fantastic game. We're taking your predictions on the matchup as well. Need winning team and score. Winning team and score with a chance to win an all-sports gift card and a Sutton's gift card. So make sure you lock in, get your prediction in. We can also take it via Twitter and email, too. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have Jeff Drummond for you after the break here on Larry Glover Live, here on Sports Central 590 WVLK. Okay.